For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recently, you know, just talk, see how he's doing, see how he's feeling, giving a good public speeches recently as well. Hulk Hogan coming up in about 20 minutes here. The Pulse with Keith coming up with not Keith in about 60 minutes.
Hey, Nick, let's break a little early in case he calls early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what threw me off is Max said...
Should I do Betfair?
Max said in the break... No, that's later.
Okay.
Max said in the break, he's like, hey, we want to go at 15 in this segment. We can, and, you know, in case Hulk calls early. And I was like, that just feels real formal. I don't know what it is. I know that's what he is known as, but, like, it just feels weird for me to be like, hey, Hulkster. Like, hey, Hulk. Right? Like,
I
imagine Bruce Banner is going to show up and get pissed at me and then, you know, throw me around the room like I'm Loki or something. And again, I know that's not, they're different Hulks. I do. Similar sizes, similar routines, workout routines, maybe similar vitamins. But the point is, Hulk Hogan coming up in about 20 minutes here. We got preseason game number two, Dustin. You've been all over this. You're the preseason guy. Everybody knows. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
No one get hurt.
Mm. All right.
It's riveting.
I just think that's I'm ready for it.
What are you looking for, Nick? I mean,
not a damn thing.
I know.
Actually,
I know.
No, not entirely true, but I just, like, every time we have a show before a preseason game, we have the awkward conversation about how much are we going to talk about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because on one hand, you want to be topical. On another hand, I'd like people to listen and to stay listening. And if I gave you in-depth analysis on any preseason game that was going to happen or would happen, I could almost hear people turning off their radios, even though I know we don't have the dial anymore. We do have a dial. It's different. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you the one thing.
Tell me.
I'm kind of curious about the quarterbacks. I don't know that curiosity is going to allow me to watch four quarters of backups. No offense to the guys playing tomorrow. You're better at sports and life and athleticism with women than I am. That's good. Good for you. It's still, it's backups. And it's the backups, and it's backups. I am a little interested to see DTR, and I'm a little interested to see Snoop Huntley. Snoop-a-loop. I think it's going to be one half for one guy, one half for another. I think that's as much as I can't see how bad the offensive line is if they're not playing, all right? Can't see if Deshaun Watson looks like Kaka in practice if he's not playing. So I guess we'll...
There's not a whole lot that I am looking to see other than, yeah, it'd be nice to watch the Browns just kind of like execute, compete, and, you know, like I want the offense to look good.
So, like, functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if they go out there and exist, you're going to be good with it.
Like, give us the bare minimum. Like, just be above average.
You know, I'd really like to see a run off the right tackle.
No one's asking you to wear 37 pieces of flair here.
What I really love is I'd love if the defensive backs backpedaled. That's what I'd like to see them do. I'd like to see the defensive linemen go forward.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't want them backpedaling unless, of course, the assignment calls for coverage, and that would be too rich for my blood. I'd like to see the running backs run. The wide receivers receive out wide.
How about the tight ends be tight?
Yeah, we went right there. Why did you?
Because you sound like you were a pirate there, the way you said it.
That's fair.
So I gave an R.
Now, I think we also have to address something that has nothing to do with Saturday's game. And it's just the way Deshaun is being covered in camp, or the perception of how Deshaun and the offense are doing in camp. Yesterday, you and I did some sleuth work. We talked to some very, you know, I mean, dozens of sources. It was four people. Dozens of sources who'd been to multiple practices, who've covered them from the Greenbrier on, and we said, ballpark it, give us a ratio on how many days, you know, or what's the ratio of days where the defense has won against the Browns offense and where the Browns offense has won against their D. And I'll be honest with you, to a person, this is very consistent. 2-1. 2-1 the times the defense has won over the offense. But I do think it's interesting, and we have a Twitter follower to the station that pointed this out. And actually, Mac put this in the DM as we're getting ready for it. It's No Ribs, No Rice 1, Dennis, as he's known, the Dennis system. And it
was what now? No.
No Ribs, No Rice 1. Oh. That's his Twitter handle. Because we can't just call people like Larry.
What do you think that means? Ribs, No Rice?
Means if you don't get any ribs. If you don't eat your rice, you can't have beans, or you can't have pudding if you don't eat your beans.
You can't have beans without toots.
I actually think you can't have toots without beans. I think that's
you
more.
Can. I had a couple in the court today.
But did you have beans?
No.
Okay.
No.
But he kind of took a screen grab of two separate Tom Withers tweets. So this is even less about how he's being covered and more about how people are reacting to the good, the bad, and the ugly with Deshaun.
Sure.
And so Tom's first tweet from yesterday, these are about 10 minutes apart, said Deshaun Watson's first pass in 7-on-7 is picked off by Vikings and returned for a touchdown. It had 154 reposts, 147 quote tweets, and 1,700 likes. 1,700 likes. Good God. And 26 bookmarks. 10 minutes later... That's actually more like 20 minutes later. Time's a flat circle. Tom.
Make sure to be precise, Nick. It
tweeted
matters.
Out. Thank you. Watson, TD pass to a leaping Judy in the back of the end zone. Gorgeous. It had 10 retweets, two quotes, 101 likes. Now, in fairness, I don't know when No Ribs, No Rice 1 took the screen grabs of this. Maybe it was 15 minutes after the second tweet was posted. But it does fly in line with what I think has been my observation about all of this. I don't think I've ever seen Browns fans more fragmented on the team going into the season. Going into even in situations like 2019, where you had Freddie Kitchens and Baker was coming off a good spot. Okay, all right. But they were coming off a disappointing season. They didn't hire the guy who led you to a strong finish to 2018, Greg Williams. Fans were raucous and ready and raring to go. Then they fire the GM. They fire the head coach, who is an absolute nightmare of a hire. All right? Baker had a bad season. And going into 2020, that's the best roster we ever had. I don't know this. I don't even know how to say Kevin Stefanski. But Kevin Stefanski's the right guy. So, like, that was a much more chaotic, in terms of the lack of success the two previous years, how bad your quarterback had looked. And he had actually played enough to say that he played, yeah, Baker didn't play well in 2019. That's not, you had enough to, like, glean from that. And going into 2020, people had sky-high expectations. I don't know. I mean, I know we all theoretically understand that this is a playoff roster from last year that's been brought back in its entirety and is actually added to the roster. But I think because of the Deshaun thing, and I don't think it's all Cleveland, by the way, because I'm not going to assume everything that every retweet and quote tweet and like on the first Tom Withers tweet about the interception. I'm not going to say all of those are even from Cleveland, but I just think it's wild that we are this close to the season, and I got to be honest with you, there's more buzz on what do we do with a freaking stadium than we have on the team itself.
It is so wild because there's been so many years you talked about, like, all the drama surrounding the team and, like, all these different quarterbacks The coaching changes. Like, there's just been a lot to talk about. It seems boring.
How are they boring? They were a playoff team last year.
No, in a good way.
Oh, wait. So you're actually saying it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but then how do we explain the difference in reaction Deshaun has a negative play than when Deshaun has a positive play?
How do we do what now? How do we...
Like, how do we explain the difference there where when Deshaun has a negative play, it's 100 retweets, 100 quote tweets, 2,000 likes, and then he has a good play and it's like 10 retweets.
Well...
One quote tweet.
A couple things here. Don't look at Twitter and like, it's not an indication of what everybody feels.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. You know that too. I mean, that's the reality of the deal. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think that the team, when I say boring, and I mean, it's a good thing. There's not like bad news coming out of the team. I mean, the Mike Hall stuff's not great, but I mean, that was a day, not even a day, like a couple segments because, you know, we don't know the situation, but you get the point, Nick. I think the team for the longest time has been full of drama and mm-hmm. negativity. If you don't like Deshaun, you don't like Deshaun.
Oh, it's interesting because, and in fairness,
I separate my personal feelings from the play on the field.
I feel like I do that. I don't think most people do. I don't think that's how people fan. And I'll be honest with you, I think the biggest lie in sports media is the idea of being unbiased. You have to recognize your bias and admit that you have one before you can remove your bias. So I have to recognize that the original things that Deshaun got accused of, suspended for, and sued for are those things yeah. are heinous and they offend me on every single level. But I also have to say, okay, I have to separate that from what I don't know and the fact that he's going to hear one way or another, and it probably isn't fair to judge him off of secondhand experiences and secondhand information when he's in front of us every day. Right. That goes back to the idea of Deshaun could help himself a lot with the average Clevelander by going out there in front of people and, you know, being real and being having some level of accessibility to him. But what I do think that points to, and listen, if you want to say, well, Twitter feeds on the negative, yes, that's true. But I already think opinions from Browns media are split about whether Deshaun looks acceptable, whether he looks bad, whether he looks awful. I already think that the actual opinions of beat reporters are a little skewed, and I don't mean skewed in a bad way. I mean, just everybody has a different opinion on it. And then you plug that into a machine that feeds off negativity and doesn't reward positivity. And I think that's aided to a skewed perception of how things are in camp. And I'm not talking about from you or me, although I'm sure that happens. I'm not even talking about with the media, because I think all those guys talk to each other and they're all okay to have different opinions. But I think to the average Browns fan, do I think the negativity of social media and the suck machine that is Twitter, do I think that the bad thing getting more, you know, more trending, more attention, do I think that that just feeds the perception of what the hell is going on at Browns camp? Yes. I think that's more the point. It is not to castigate the local media or say the beat isn't doing a good job. It is, I don't think anybody knows what to make of Deshaun. And then you put it out there on social media and it gets skewed to bejesus and back. And so we're all left wondering what the hell is going on. And it doesn't affect me as much because I already expect him to look a little wonky early in the season because of everything we've talked about the last couple days. But do I think that social media, that machine, do I think it uniquely clues in on a weird situation in Cleveland with everything? I mean, literally, from start to finish with the Deshaun thing, I think it does. And I think it only aids to people who say, I'm so confused as to how to feel about Deshaun going into the season.
Yeah,
I think that's aided the disconnect, and that's through no fault of Deshaun, the Browns, or really anybody else. It's just how sports media is disseminated and sports information is disseminated. 216-474-0092. I just really wanted to say, disseminated, well, we got to put a pin in the preseason conversation, brother, because Hulk Hogan joins us next, brother, on 92.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Just a few moments ago, Jax Gregory, sweet young thing, who's in for Keith today, picked up the phone with the door open and said, "Is this Mr. Hogan?" So, you've waited long enough. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and he is releasing in Ohio now, the 10th state, 10th market to do this, Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer, and Hulk Hogan himself joins us on the hotline. Hulk, welcome to the show.
Brother, I should be there with the hotline with you guys at 92.3. Chugging some of these Real American Beers, brother. I should be there.
I wish
you were here.
Yeah, we would love for you to be here. Now, I just want to get this out of the way.
I gotta take a nap, man. I'm sorry.
No worries. So is brother a two-way street here? Like, do you just call us brother, or can I brother you back?
You can brother me back. Brother came about after about 10 years of getting hit in the head with a steel chair. I would meet people, and instantly they'd walk away, and I'd look at my friend and go, "What was that guy's name?" And it started happening all the time, so I just started calling everybody brother, you know?
Yeah, it's like, and, what's up, boss?
People that
what's
I meet up, repeatedly, you know, and I see them, then I'll remember their names. But I meet so many darn people every day, man. It's crazy. So the brother thing came from that.
Well, Hulk, you've been very open about the toll that your long career in the ring has taken on you with all the physical problems. So to start here, how you feeling, brother?
Everything's good, you know. It's kind of like my body shut down on me about 12 or 13 years ago, so I've had like 25 surgeries since then. And what got me was back surgery number 10. They pinched something off of my tailbone, which has made my darn legs atrophy, makes it kind of hard to walk any distance. But, you know, the normal stuff, you know, the knee, both knees replaced, both hips replaced, shoulder surgeries, the standard stuff, you know. Nobody gave me the memo and told me that stuff was fake, you know, so it's kind of caught me off guard.
Oh, there's no doubt. The legend Hulk Hogan with us on The Fan. So let me ask you, brother, I played football for many, many years, and you know, my body took a toll, not like yours, I'm sure, cause you've been doing it a hell of a lot longer, and y'all take a beating for sure. The question is, was it worth it for you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I love the wrestling business, and once I got in it, I just wanted to make a paycheck, you know, and make a living. But then once I figured out the business and kind of reinvented it with that whole Hulkamania thing and saw the merchandise and the licensing was part of the big picture, it really made me get into business mode, you know, and I've been pushing that way for so long. So, you know, trying to figure out ways to generate, you know, several sources of revenue, especially when you can generate revenue while you're sleeping, you really got to figure it out. So it's kind of like I wouldn't change anything except that stupid-ass leg drop, because I dropped that leg for 40 years. And, you know, you ask wrestlers, "Oh, you're all crippled up walking around. Would you change anything?" And everybody always says no, but I say yes, I would. Because instead of dropping that leg, I was walking around with the largest arms in the world. I should have used the sleeper. And then I wouldn't even have to fall down. Just put the sleeper on somebody and, you know, work the heck out of that.
What does, because I know last year was the 40th anniversary of Hulkamania. What does 40 years of Hulkamania mean to you?
Well, it's an accomplishment that I never thought I'd see. And it kind of really woke me up, you know, this last year, because all of a sudden Mattel did a 40-year push. And all of a sudden I've got the number one selling action figure in the world. And there's this, it's almost like they reinvented me. You know, it's almost like between the 40-year anniversary of Hulkamania, and, you know, if you're 90 years old, you're watching me when you're 50. So I've got people 90, 80, 70, 60, 50, all the way down to 5-year-old kids that know who I am. And then, you know, just speaking of that darn Republican convention, it's almost like, you know, I had some people from the WWE, from the WWE tell me that, man, you're hotter than you were in the 80s. And it's kind of weird how what's old is new again, and how the character has just been reinvigorated. It's amazing.
Hey, brother, what are you most proud of throughout your career?
The thing that I'm most proud of are my kids, bro. You know,
cause of course, 100%.
I tried real hard at this marriage thing. You know, I dumped in the bed a couple times. You know, I really didn't get it right. So, you know, but what I did get right were my kids. You know, so I'm really, really proud of my daughter and my son Nick, who's just a stand-up dude, man. He's totally correct. So I'm proud of my kids, brother.
So from the career perspective, and that's a great question, but, you know, whether it's the career or just the personal life, where's that space where maybe you feel like you could have done better?
Well, I did, you know, the best I could. I mean, I was, you know, you got to realize for the first 20 years, there was no Rock or there was no Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was just me. So I was everywhere. I was wrestling, you know, Philadelphia Spectrum at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Madison Square Garden that night. The next day, Boston Gardens at 1 o'clock that night, LA Forum. I was wrestling 425 times a year. You know, I was doing two-a-days, and I was the only guy. And, you know, there's a difference between being a WWE superstar and being an attraction. If you're an attraction, you can go sell out without even naming an opponent. They would just put Hulkamania come to the Tacoma Dome and it would sell out. So that was really tough, was being on the road so much. But as soon as my kids were born, I started working a part-time schedule. And then, you know, when they really started missing me, when they were like 4 and 6 years old, I shut it almost all the way down. And I got a ton of heat for that, man, because I was really, really working part-time. But, you know, I really tried to adjust as well as I could, that I was out there chasing that paper, because back then, you know, if you got hurt, you didn't get paid. You know, if you blew a knee out, you weren't under contract and you didn't get to go to rehab for 6 months or 9 months, or you tear a tricep and you get paid for a year and then you come back and you still have your job. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. If you tore a tricep or blew a knee out, you didn't get paid. So, you know, I tried to push as hard as I can to save as much money, but if I could change anything, I would have probably changed the length of time I stayed in the business. And when I left the WWE, before I went to Ted Turner and did that NWO thing, if I would have changed anything, I would have probably quit then.
Let me ask you about the Real American Beer. I mean, is this going to have brother written all over it?
Have you seen the can?
Not yet. No, I'm about to look it up on the website as we speak.
Yeah, it's got the brother on the can, man.
Oh, that's why. Okay, well, bad job out of me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, it's crazy because this thing has just taken off. You know, just like I was telling you how the character has just been launched again on a new lightning bolt. I had an idea, you know, that I told a friend of mine when Bud Light crashed and burned. I saw this crazy open lane, and there was no American beer filling that spot, you know. And with the marketing plan crashed with Bud Light, you know, I said, well, I got an idea for a beer, because, you know, in the wrestling business, you know, sometimes if you have a little problem in the ring, you wouldn't sue each other. You'd just go back out the ring and fight it out. But, you know, my whole thing was, hey, brother, let's sit down and have a beer and talk about it. So the idea came from talking and having a conversation over a beer. And I realized it was bigger than politics, because the politicians don't talk. Democrats, Republicans don't talk. And then I said, well, you know, we're more alike than we are divided. And I said, I've got this idea for a beer that it doesn't matter what your political stance is, you know, what color your skin is, doesn't matter what your sexual preference is, you know, it doesn't matter where you're from. I said, I've got a beer that I feel, Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer, that'll bring America back together one beer at a time or one conversation at a time. So that was the premise for the idea. And, brother, it just took off. I mean, Kroger, Walmart, Albertsons, you know, all the Giant Eagle, all the stores everywhere want this beer. So I didn't expect it to take off so fast, but we're on a crazy roll.
Well, Hulk, I'm looking at the can as we speak. That's a hell of a can. Obviously,
it's crazy.
I mean, it's real. It's an eye catcher. I mean, if you're in the grocery store and you see this thing, I mean, it's definitely something I'm going to pick up.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the people at Walmart. You know, when I first got in the first Walmart here in Tampa, that all of a sudden it just multiplied, and we got in all the Walmarts, and all of a sudden the way the beer's performing, they're going, oh my gosh, we'll take any product you got. You know, so I'm going, okay, well, how about real American pizzas and real American cheeseburgers? You know, so, but the beer has opened a whole bunch of doors, and we're pushing really hard, and we really feel that, you know, people are going to be excited because the beer does taste good too. You know, so thank God for that. But it's amazing, the response. I just can't wait to get to Ohio and just see how everybody responds, because I know it's going to be crazy.
Hulk Hogan on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Now, this is your lager, right? This is the straight-up domestic beer here. I do want to know, are we going to get a Hulk Hogan IPA or a Hulk Hogan Hefeweizen?
Well, this has kind of opened the door to take the artistic liberty, brother, to broaden our horizons, because, you know, this is a light beer, but then, you know, you've got, you know, the real American non-alcoholic beer, you've got the real American spritzers, vodka and tequila spritzers, you know, those drinks that everybody drinks. And then, you know, as far as the IPA, don't forget, I own all my marks. I own everything. So we could have a Hollywood Hogan, real edgy IPA, you know, and so creatively, we can pretty much go any direction, but, you know, the door is wide open now that this beer is doing so well that we can move in a bunch of different directions. I actually have the license to Andre the Giant for some t-shirts and merch, and I actually have the license for beer. So we could have a real American blam, a 40-ounce Andre the Giant beer, too. The possibilities are endless.
So I know we've talked a lot about the beer. We've talked a lot about your career. But, you know, there have been a lot of things out there in the last decade and a lot of different interpretations of where you are in your life and how things are going. So I can't believe I didn't ask you this at the beginning. Like, how are you doing personally? Are you happy with where you are and where life is taking you at this point at the age of 71?
Yeah, well, things are cool. You know, I regrouped and basically, you know, all the bumps in the road were, you know, self-inflicted bumps. But, you know, it's kind of amazing, you know, how forgiving, you know, the wrestling fans are, the American public is, because it's like, it seems like the more scars I was getting on myself, the more I was relatable to, like a normal guy, you know, that just makes mistakes. So I just kept moving forward, brother, and just learned from my mistakes. And the greatest thing that happened to me was getting back to my faith, because, you know, the lady that I'm married to, Sky, on paper, it does not work, bro, to have a 71-year-old man with a 48-year-old lady that's got a 17, 15, and a 9-year-old daughter. On paper, it doesn't work, but I fell in love with her kids, and it was a wrap. And then, you know, she was a believer in my Lord and Savior. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm in a really great spot. There's no drama. You know, we're completely honest with each other. If I get pissed about something, I'll just tell her. You know, I don't hold a grudge. I just, you know, surrendered completely. So, you know, so where I'm at in my life is where I should be, you know, and it's really cool. And I can be totally honest. Like, I've had people on radio stations say, well, do you want to go with the questions? No, just ask me whatever you want. I don't have a problem with anything. You can ask me anything because I'm totally honest about it. So yeah, brother, everything's good. Really good.
Does it bug you that there were some people because of those bumps in the road that maybe haven't come back and maybe feel certain ways because of those bumps?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people judge people, you know, and when they make a stand, you know, it's, this world is all about forgiveness, you know. And, you know, for me, you know, I've got some people that I didn't get along with and, you know, have done stuff to me that I've totally forgiven them, you know. And at the end of the day, if there's certain people that, you know, hold a grudge against me or don't like me or have a problem with something I said or did, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I love them to death, but if they want to hold on to that energy, brother, that's their call, you know, because people do change, you know, people do move forward. People do get smarter, stronger, more faithful, more loyal. And I just wish I had 30 years back and a full head of hair and knew what I know now. You know, that would be great. But no, I don't have a problem with anybody that doesn't like me or, you know, has an opinion about me for my past. You know, I've learned from it and I move forward and I just make sure I never make those ridiculous mistakes again.
Hey, brother, I know you're as famous as all get out. And
why did you go Southern there?
I don't know. I didn't mean to, but I mean, you're a famous dude, okay? Is there anybody you've met throughout your life, your career, that you're like, wow, like a little starstruck? Like, because you're a famous guy. Is there someone you met that made you be like,
yeah,
wow?
Bro, I did lose it when I met one person, you know? I mean, it's just like the other day, I'm looking at the phone on Instagram. Tom Brady's coming out to my Real American Music, you know?
That's fanatics. Awesome.
You know, Donald Trump's used my music at Mar-a-Lago, and Obama used my music when he had the, whatever it is, the press meeting or whatever that thing they have every year. And so when Ron DeSantis backed out of the race, he was using my music. I mean, it's a compliment, but in this world, as far as the actors and the people that come to the dance and the people that come to the matches and the events, I pretty much met almost everybody. You know, I met everybody from Jordan, LeBron James, Rodman, you know, all the baseball players, football players. I met everybody because most of these guys grew up watching me. But the one person that I lost it over, believe it or not, and he's one of your guys from Ohio, was when I met Jerry Springer.
Oh, Jerry Springer.
When I met Jerry Springer, I was shaking like a little girl, man.
Why?
Because I grew up watching Springer, and I just loved how crazy it was, you know. It reminded me of wrestling, you know, because people say it was scripted. People say it wasn't scripted. But sometimes there was some real-life craziness that went on there. And I saw that. I said, you know what? After watching that, I'm kind of normal.
Yeah, it made you feel better about your life, didn't it?
Yeah, it made me feel a lot better about myself. But, yeah, when I met Springer, I was shaking like a leaf, man.
So as we're talking about Real American Beer, your beer, I know we're still kind of in, I don't want to say the infancy, because again, this is, you know, the 10th state, you're growing rapidly here, but as you map out the next 5 years for Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer, well, what are your wildest hopes, wishes, and dreams for it, brother?
Well, I just hope it sticks around. You know, I hope it's a legacy beer. I hope that it becomes America's beer. You know, like some people say, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. Whether that's true or not, I really don't know, but I wish this would become America's beer, because all the intentions, all the energy, everything that's put into this has been nothing but honest and love and just positive stuff. You know, we're not here to hurt anybody or steal anybody's business. It's kind of like the Italians say, there's always room at the table for one more person to eat. You know, it's kind of like, that's what I'm hoping for the future, you know, that it can become America's beer and a legacy beer that's around long after I'm gone.
All right, one more for me, brother. If you could face anybody all time, both of you in your prime, who'd you pick?
Well, there's two people, bro, and I just can't, you know, say it's down to one. First off, if he was alive, I'd love to wrestle Andre the Giant again, because that brother raised me. When he met me, I was 24, 25 years old. I thought I could beat anybody up. I was way out of control, you know, and he kind of straightened me up. If it wasn't for him, I'd have probably defected. You know, he kind of like grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and, you know, slapped me around enough times where I said, okay, I give up, you know. So it took him about 8 years to straighten me out. But once he did, we became really good friends. So he would be the first one I'd want to get in the ring with and return the favor, you know, because he put me over and he didn't have to, brother. That night he let me beat him. If he had beat me in the middle of the ring, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't change my career one bit. But I would love to do the favor and get in the ring with him one more time. And the only other guy that there's a bunch of guys I'd like to wrestle. You know, the Seth Rollins, and I'd love to wrestle Vince McMahon. I can go down the whole list. But the one guy I went back to the WWE for, the one guy I went back there as the bad guy, you know, to really have a program and make a lot of money with, was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And physically, he was having some serious issues with nerve damage in his legs and back. And right when I came in, you know, and wrestled The Rock, they pretty much booed The Rock out of the building when I wrestled him. And then the next thing I knew, Steve had some physical problems, but he would be the one guy, if I had to say, I'd love to get in the ring with him because I know we could tear it down.
Well, Hulk, it's no surprise that you are a global icon. You're great at speaking. It was really fun to get some time with you here. I know you said you got to get a little rest going, so rest up. And thank you for your time, and best of luck with your Real American Beer.
You guys are great. You need me to cut a promo or anything for you real quick?
We would love that.
Yes, just talk about Nick and Dustin and how they also are real Americans, brother.
And this show is called Afternoon Drive, so if you can like work that in a little bit, that'd be cool.
Asking a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, brother. What are we going to get, brother?
I'm writing it down because once I get rolling, I can say
This is going to be good.
I'm ready.
It's Afternoon Drive, right?
Yes.
Afternoon Drive, yeah. And it's not 92.3, it's just 92.3.
Yeah.
Well, it's 92.3.
92.3 The Fan.
Okay.
Dude, you're awesome, man.
The Fan. Are you guys ready for this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, we're ready, brother.
It can be kind of loud, so.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Pot him down just a little bit there. Okay, perfect.
All right, we're ready.
Go ahead.
All right, brothers, here we go. I'm counting myself down in 3, 2, 1. Yo, maniacs, Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and I'm hanging with my new tag team partners, Nick and Dustin, and I want you guys to know that on Afternoon Drive 92.3, I want everybody listening. I want everybody staying on the radio with me, because what you going to do when Nick and Dustin Mania run wild on you, brother?
Right there. That's what we're talking about. Hulk, great stuff. And again, appreciate you. Best of luck in your business ventures.
Go buy Real American Beer.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, brother.
Hulk Hogan. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
What do you think about this horse?
You just say it every. You say it a different way every time, and it kind of wrecks me
in the best way. Is it unintentionally funny?
I think it's intentionally funny. We'll react to
Hulk.
We got
to let you in on a secret when we come back.
But first, a quick update by Jake. I think that's just a promo. Just go ahead and put that in and run it infinitum.
Yep.
Just run that one till the end of time. You go. I think he won you over there, because you're not a big wrestling fan.
I've always been a Hulk Hogan fan.
Yeah, I understand.
Like when I was a kid, I had like the wrestling, action figures. Yeah.
Did you have
I had a Hulk Hogan one.
You had the Wrestle Buddies, the pillow versions, where they were like shaped like the wrestlers and you could wrestle them. I might have had a few of those.
You had a few of those?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's pretty much Christmas for like 2 years. Christmas and birthday for like 2 years.
I had like the little mini ring.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you know what was amazing? I don't know. Was he on the game back in the day? Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Like for Genesis?
Yeah. I think he was.
That
because,
was like, at the time, one of the greatest games.
Because they also had, if I'm thinking of the same one, they also had one for the PC ROM.
Probably.
And that, when I used to go over to my biological father's house, I would just play, you know, like the whole point there is like, build a bridge and a relationship. And I was like, I think I should play Royal Rumble on your computer right now, because we didn't have a computer yet. And so great job out of me. But I got to tell you, so listen, I know that there were people who tweeted us about interviewing Hulk. And, you know, we asked him about, are you happy? Where are you with people who are not happy with you? Him speaking at the RNC did generate some feelings for people. And I totally understand. I mean, I understand why people have a problem with Hulk Hogan, but where I think it's a little interesting is when you actually interview him, like, yeah, he gave us the promo. There is a real guy there who is at least willing.
That guy's been through a lot and has, as a lot of us do, many demons. And he's battling, man.
And willing to talk about it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I thought that his honesty was something that resonates with people and certainly did with me.
And well, I think, you know, I just don't think we can have it both ways. You can't say, well, that guy is these three things. And then the guy says, and again, he didn't specifically address it because we didn't specifically ask him. But you can't, like when somebody offers like, man, I've had to learn from those bumps in the roads and I feel like I'm coming back. I feel like I'm on the comeback trail and I feel like I've learned my lesson. I mean, somebody sounds contrite. I mean, we all have the ability to make a decision whether you believe it or not, but I I appreciate somebody who can be real. He did not come off as somebody who's always on and didn't really quote-unquote turn on until the promo, which was also pretty cool to hear him write down and take notes for a promo that he was going to do on the show. That might have won me over a little bit, too.
The fact that he wrote that stuff down, though,
yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah.
I had to correct him because, you know what? Every promo that we have these celebrities cut, they say 92.3.
Yeah.
I got it.
He was coachable.
Dude, very coachable.
So
that's why he's had such a hell of a career.
Yeah. Brother.
Brother.
You were killing me with the brother thing.
Real quick, I know we're up against it here, but during the interview, before my first question, Nick turned off his microphone, turned off mine, and he looks at me and he goes, I want you to use brother in every question. I did?
You used brother.
I said, done.
You killed it. I mean, that was beautiful.
I know. We know what we think about this horse.
Like, I would like you to send that in for our Marconi submission this year.
I mean, I thought it was excellent.
Just the questions with every question with brother in them.
And hey, even if I didn't say it to start, I got it in.
You got it in there. You know what?
I jammed it in.
I'm proud of you.
Thank
brother.
You. Thanks, Dad.
The Pulse with Mac next on 92.3 The Fan. I think that's just a promo. Just go ahead and put that in and run it infinitum.
Yep.
Just run that one till the end of time. You go. I think he won you over there because you're not a big wrestling fan.
I've always been a Hulk Hogan fan.
Yeah, I understand.
Like when I was a kid, I had like the wrestling, the figures, action figures. Yeah.
Did you have the
I had a Hulk Hogan one?
You had the Wrestle Buddies, the pillow versions where they were like shaped like the wrestlers and you could wrestle them. I might have had a few of those.
You had a few of those?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's pretty much Christmas for like 2 years. Christmas and birthday for like 2 years.
I had like the little mini ring.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you know what was amazing? I don't know. Was he on the game back in the day? Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Like for Genesis?
Yeah. I think he was.
That
because,
was like, at the time, one of the greatest games.
Because they also had, if I'm thinking of the same one, they also had one for the PC-ROM.
Probably.
And that when I used to go over to my biological father's house, I would just play, like the whole point there is build a bridge and a relationship. And I was like, I think I should play Royal Rumble on your computer right now because we didn't have a computer yet. And so great job out of me. But I got to tell you, so listen, I know that there were people who tweeted us about interviewing Hulk and, we asked him about, are you happy? Where are you with people who are not happy with you? Him speaking at the RNC did generate some feelings for people. And I totally understand. I mean, I understand why people have a problem with Hulk Hogan, but where I think it's a little interesting is when you actually interview him, like, yeah, he gave us the promo. There is a real guy there who is at least willing.
That guy's been through a lot and has, as a lot of us do, many demons, and he's battling, man.
And willing to talk about it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I thought that his honesty was something that resonates with people and certainly did with me.
And while I think, I just don't think we can have it both ways. You can't say, well, that guy is these three things. And then the guy says, and again, he didn't specifically address it because we didn't specifically ask him. But you can't, like when somebody offers like, man, I've had to learn from those bumps in the roads, and I feel like I'm coming back. I feel like I'm on the comeback trail, and I feel like I've learned my lesson. I mean, somebody sounds contrite. I mean, we all have the ability to make a decision whether you believe it or not, but I appreciate somebody who can be real. He did not come off as somebody who's always on and didn't really, quote-unquote, turn on until the promo, which was also pretty cool to hear him write down and take notes for a promo that he was going to do on the show. That might have won me over a little bit, too.
The fact that he wrote that stuff down, though.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I had to correct him. Because you know what? Every promo that we have these celebrities cut, they say 92.3.
Yeah.
And I got it.
He was coachable.
Dude, very coachable.
So
that's why he's had such a hell of a career.
Yeah. Brother.
Brother.
You were killing me with the brother thing.
Real quick. I know we're up against it here. But during the interview, before my first question, Nick turned off his microphone, turned off mine, and he looks at me and he goes, I want you to use brother in every question. I did?
You used brother.
I said, done.
You killed it. I mean, that was beautiful.
I know. We know what we think about this horse.
Like, I would like you to send that in for our Marconi submission this year.
I mean, I thought it was excellent.
Just the questions with every question with brother in them.
And hey, even if I didn't say it to start, I got it in.
You got it in there. You know what?
I jammed it in.
I'm proud of you, thank brother. You.
Thanks, Dad.
The Pulse with Mac. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.